Good morning, everyone. Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark 5, 22 through 36. As we do that, I want to speak to you this morning about Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And I'm so glad that you're with us today online. And we're going to believe that God has a message for each and every one of us in this trying time that we're in. If we read from Mark 5, 22, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, touched his garment. For she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of blood of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest this multitude throng thee, and thou sayest, Who touched me? And when he looked around about to see her, that she had done this thing, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him of all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came a ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid. Only believe." The Bible indicates that Jesus overhears this other person from Jairus' house while he is speaking to the woman healed from an issue of blood. In verse 35, he said, "There came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" Folks, I want you to know today that God has listened to Jairus' situation. That God that listened to that is listening to the detractors in your life today. All the gloom and the doom that, and all the things that we're hearing, the numbers affected by COVID-19 rising, staying at home, no work, 401ks dropping, everything canceling around us. I'm here to tell you today that your God is listening to the gloom and doom. And he is saying, like he said in verse 36, be not afraid, only believe. There's a similarity here when you look at the scripture. Jairus' daughter and Lazarus, in both instances here, Jesus waits until the person is identified as dead before he goes to them. In this case of Lazarus, Jesus waits a full day, 4 days from the moment of death, which is the time that the Jews believe it takes for a soul to leave the body, making full restoration as impossible. Amen. The scope of Jesus' miracle builds gradually. And here we merely delays until immediately after the girl has passed. When the word believe, from the Greek root word, is pististio, and basically means to be persuaded as true. Folks, this is a tall order to ask of the Lord. People have been raised from the dead before, but the accounts which were recorded in the Old Testament, written hundreds of years ago, even if he has a leader in the synagogue, Jairus has no particular reason to believe that his 12-year-old daughter is a significant enough person to be brought back to life by God's messenger. In Jesus' ministry, faith is a conduit that allows the power of God to act. The faith of the woman that with the issue of blood is so great that she is healed without Jesus taking any active part in this. But on the other hand, when Jesus returns to his hometown in Nazareth, their unbelief will keep Jesus from doing the miracles that is so easily he had done in Capernaum in Mark 6, 1 through 6. And he went about from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many things, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that even such mighty works are wrought in his hands? And is not this the carpenter, thy son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Josias, and Judah, and Simeon, are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could not do mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon the few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around about the village teaching. When you look at verse 3, it says that they were offended at him. Jesus found opposition in his own neighborhood. Folks, let's not let it be said that God finds opposition from his own people of the name of Jesus Christ. You see, miracles propelled by the faith in Jesus' ministry are meant to identify him as a representative of God. They alert the people to the fact that his teachings are from God, and they are to be heeded. Now, those teachings are gathered in the Bible. God works in significant different ways. Amen. In slightly different ways. Our faith today is still required for God to work in our lives. I want to ask you today, will you allow God to use you to be that example, to be that witness when things all around us look bleak? When you hear of COVID-19, will you allow God to use you to be that witness? Will you allow God to use you to be that example? Or will you get upset with God for not keeping you from sickness? Will you get upset with God for not keeping you from losing your job, or the financial issues in your life, or your 401k plummeting? Will you allow God to help you and keep you? Folks, our faith doesn't have to be big. Luke 17:6, and the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by thy root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Our faith just has to be pointed in the right direction. In Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Our faith, folks, has to be persistent. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. Folks, our faith also needs to have the right intent. It is not biblical to have faith that God will give us riches, that God will give us health. In James 4, verse 2 and 3, ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and ye desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and you receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. You see, instead, God promises to give us what we need to do his will. He promises to give us what we need so that we can do his will. If our hearts, folks, are aligned with his will, and we value what he has prioritized, we will be satisfied with what he gives us. Amen? John 15, verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in ye, ye shall ask what ye will, and ye shall be done unto you. It's okay, folks, to be disappointed when we don't receive the blessings we hope for, if we also acknowledge that our hope ultimately rests in him. Amen. 1 Peter 1 through 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. Folks, I want to encourage you, do not be afraid. Only believe. Amen. Jairus represents most of Christianity. We know Christ is our only hope. Amen. And in our crisis, we run to him. We fall at his feet and we seek his mercy and we seek his help. Jairus had a good measure of faith because the Bible says he asked Jesus in Mark 5:23, and he besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and that she may live." You see, this is an affirmation of true faith. Lord, all she needs is you. You have all the power. You could keep her from dying, God. In responding to Jairus' faith, Jesus said in verse 24, the Bible says that Jesus went with him. Amen. Jesus, folks, permitted time to run out because he wanted his followers to have faith in his resurrection power. Faith that goes beyond hopelessness. Faith that goes beyond even death. The so-called believers, I believe, who stood by that little girl's bedside, they had this limited faith. And as long as there was a little life left, a little bit of hope left, Jesus was wanted. Jesus was needed. These so-called believers said to themselves, "Jesus, Jesus, we believe you. We believe you are the great physician. We believe you are the great healer. Nothing, Jesus, is impossible with you. We know you have all the power. But please, hurry. But please, hurry, because she may die at any minute. And then we won't need you." You see, there are many times when we take care of situations in our lives, situations that come up, or there's sometimes that these situations come up and we believe that they're dead. And we feel that we don't want to bother the master. And I ask you, what kind of faith is this? You see, it is faith only to the point of death. It is faith only to the point of the grave. When circumstances look as if it is all lost, this faith dies. And as it turned out, the Bible says this little girl died. Can you see those people taking her pulse and they're pronouncing her dead? What little faith they had possessed was now gone. You see, the first order of funeral business was to notify the master that he was no longer needed. They sent a messenger saying, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" These words seemed so final. "Thy daughter is dead." These words, folks, may be ringing in your ears today. Everything seems to be falling apart in our world with COVID-19 and sicknesses all around. Don't bother the master. Retirement is dropping. Don't bother Jesus. Your marriage may be dying. Don't bother Jesus. Your ministry is dead. Don't bother the Lord. Your family is dead. Don't go seeking after him. Your relationship to that loved one is dead. Don't bother the master. Your loved one and your friends are addicted to drugs and other things. But don't bother the master. These dreaded words, folks, understand me today. These dreaded words meant absolutely nothing to Jesus. Jesus never gives up on things that are assumed dead. Why? Because he is resurrection and life. Amen. For each one of us, there comes a day when we feel like our lives have been hijacked and all we hear is bad news. We go along day after day doing our very best. We take care of our families. We get our exercise. We try to pay our bills on time. And the years go by and we begin to think that we are in control of our lives, that everything will be okay. You see, we just need to do our best. And then one day, everything changes. We get a cut in salary. Maybe you get laid off. We get some bad news from the doctor. Or we hear of things like COVID-19. In one moment, We feel in control of our lives. And the next, we feel trapped with nowhere to turn. You see, there have been times when we have said, I think I have lost control of my life. Maybe if you never said it, maybe you've heard others say it. But folks, we cannot lose something we never really had. Amen? We know that we were never really in control. We know that. We understand it. And we only think that we were. We cannot control what happens to us. We can only choose how we will react when the bad and sometimes the good flood our boat. But see, Jesus admonishes the disciples saying, you still don't get it, do you? You don't need to be afraid. You see, Jesus was caught in Mark 4. Jesus was caught sleeping while the storm was trying to flood the boat. And he talks to his disciples. You just don't get it. They come down there. Lord, don't you care that we're going to perish? He said, you just don't get it, do you? You don't need to be afraid. Hear me today. I said, you don't need to be afraid. You just need faith. Amen? You just need faith. Jairus, he's a leader of the synagogue. He falls at Jesus' feet. His daughter is mortally ill, something he cannot control. He pleads, come and heal my little girl so that she can live. But before Jesus can get to Jairus' house, the Bible tells us that word came that she was dead. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Just have faith. Jesus said these two things. Don't be afraid. Just have faith. And he says this unto us, especially when things happen in our lives that we cannot control. We want to control our lives. We'd like to control God. If we control God, we could get a miracle when we needed one or when we wanted one. But folks, these miracle stories are not about control. They are stories about what God is like and how God acts. Mark wrote these stories down in the scripture so that we would know that Jesus is a great God. So that when something goes wrong, we would have strength to carry on because we serve a great God. Amen? We have two choices, folks. We either can be afraid or we can have faith. We all know that being afraid gets us nowhere. Because life happens. Amen? Faith, folks, has little to do with what happens to us. But faith has everything to do with how we handle what happens to us. Faith gives us a much better chance of experiencing those miracles of God's grace. We are all afraid at one time or another. That's just being human. But with faith, we can know that things are going to get better. Amen. And there is healing power in that belief, in that faith. Amen. When you read in Mark 5 and verse 36, Jesus, as if he did not hear the words was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Folks, don't let your problems, don't let your circumstances tell you not to bother the master. Amen. Don't let your troubles keep you from the master. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 42 says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? There's a lot of us looking for what shall we do now. Amen. But Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why? For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did they testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his words, they were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Amen, folks. It matters where you're at. Amen. You need to continue steadfastly in these things and trust in your God. Believe in your God. Amen. This is a scary time that we're in. But only believe. Do not, amen, do not be afraid. Only believe. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you soon.